Steel City Shakespeare is here. And I'm going to start with Michael Makita, who is an actor with the company and a longtime person who's been involved with the company for a long time. Good morning.
Good morning.
For folks who don't know about Steel City Shakespeare, let's describe a bit about what you do.
All right. Well, I should say my official title is Director of Audience Development, which I think was concocted so that I can be the dad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the DAD. But Steel City Shakespeare, we try to go, of course, beyond Shakespeare into other classical literature, and our goal has been very community-oriented. We think classical theater, anything that's been able to last for hundreds of years, has a universal message to people, and we want to bring that to people in Pittsburgh. And so we try to do things like this that are public and out in the open. We accept donations, of course, but it's free. We never turn anyone away. So it's just open to the community, and hopefully we can find that there have been shared experiences for hundreds of years and help us find some commonality in ourselves now.
And your repertoire is not limited to Shakespeare, right?
No, certainly not. Last year we did Jane Austen. We did Pride and Prejudice. It was kind of interesting because we did it with an all-female cast, so even the male characters were played by ladies, and it gave an interesting perspective to the performance.
So one of the nice things with a presentation style like this is it really eliminates the perceived cultural barriers or classist barriers of a theater. I mean, you're just able to go out and see people making theater, which I think is probably what Shakespeare had in mind.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so many people think, and there are wonderful theaters all over the city, but in most cases, you sit in a seat, the lights dim, you sit in the dark and can't move, and the performer is up there on stage in the spotlight, and that's the whole experience. And this one, it feels a little bit more like being there. We, when we had done Pride and Prejudice, we did it in a Victorian house, and people, you know, walked from room to room while this show was going on. This one will be at the Overlook, where people are free to enjoy the view and take pictures and bring their dogs, you know, if they want to, and, you know, bring a picnic lunch and just be immersed in the whole experience.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Overlook, and then we're going to talk about the translation of the play, which is quite remarkable. But to talk about the Overlook, let me introduce you to Christine Wispel. And you're with the Fine View Citizens Council. Is it Wispel or Wispel?
Wispel.
Ah, I always should know to take B instead of A. How long have you lived in Fine View?
I'm there almost 4 years.
What brought you there?
Well, Fine View has a funny way of finding people. I think it's little known to most people in Pittsburgh, and it's perched high above Pittsburgh, located about a mile from downtown, and has this rivaling view of Pittsburgh, just rivaling Mount Washington's view.
And can you tell me how this came together, the Citizens Council collaborating with Steel City Shakespeare to have the play there at the Overlook?
Yeah, I think that Michael said it when he talked about connectivity, engaging neighbors, and bringing community into a space. We were both attracted and enchanted by this Victorian cottage that sits up in Fine View on Katoma Street. We found a unique likeness there. And
that ended up bringing everybody together to do this. Now, the Overlook, to a lot of people even know that it's there. I think the Overlook, at least from my perspective, is a well-kept secret.
It is a well-kept secret.
It gets overlooked.
Yeah. So folks can come up. How do you get to it? Where exactly is it?
Well, if there's a Main Street in Fineview. It's Catoma Street.
Catoma. So it's just off of Catoma. So yeah. Catoma becomes the Grand View Avenue.
You can come up from Federal Street straight up the hill and then take a right, which you would never think to do because it looks like you're going into the woods. you just keep going until you find Catoma Street, and then that overlook finds you.
But that sounds a great thing to do, and you have a chance and a reason to go there. So you can explore the neighborhood and also explore Sinbad, the Seven Voyages of Sinbad. Michael, for those who don't know the basic plot line of the play, can you explain more or less? We can do that. You were going to mention the play. It's Azarash. Do I have your name correct?
It's Azarash.
Azarash. Okay. And you translated this play. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. So I should probably start from what happened that I translated it. Around April, I met co-director of the show, Zill Ricker, in one of the shows, and she was talking with me that we want to do this production, but we have two translations that two English translations that both seem very westernized, not original, and we are thinking of finding someone who can help us with translating, or we can do Google Translate, and the translator can just correct all the errors in there. I told that I can do the whole translation, and I chose Tasuji version of the book, which is in Persian, and that was the best version of the book that
I was curious because there must be multiple I'm not sure what the original would be, if it's Arabic or Persian.
Well, apparently it was a Persian text which was translated to Arabic a few hundred years ago and again translated to Persian a few hundred years ago. And currently there are several versions, as you said, but the best version that I knew was this Tasuji version, which is the text is in Old Persian, so practically there are no commas, there are no they start the paragraph and finish the sentence and the end of paragraph, but it apparently created a great opportunity to use it as a style for storytelling.
How the text you were looking at, was it typeset or was it handwritten, or because it sounds like it was very, very old?
Well, it was published several times, so it was typeset.
Okay, and is the do you know the age of how far back it?
So the when? Translation that I mean the version that I used apparently is 200 years old.
Wow.
Something like that.
That's something. And you, how do you come by the ability to do this? Are you from Iraq? Or
I'm Iranian.
Or Iranian. I'm sorry. I meant Iran. I know better. I'm very sorry.
And the text was in Persian.
Yeah.
So it's my language.
Yeah. Because I didn't want to assume that. And I'm thinking... if you're in Iran, you know Persian, but you don't necessarily know, I think about me translating Old English. If I was given something written in Old English, I couldn't necessarily do it. So are you a linguist, or do you have interest in language? That's what I'm wondering about. Or maybe the analogy isn't quite perfect.
So there were words and sentences that I had to do some search in order to understand. But mostly Persian language haven't changed that much. It's not like English. English changed a lot in the recent centuries. But Persian language hasn't changed that much.
Yeah, I think about Hebrew too, where in the Torah there are no vowels. Which makes it very hard to try to figure things out. But you kind of can if you work at it. Can you sort of describe the basic storyline of the Seven Voyages?
So the whole story of Thousand and One Night is about a king who takes wives and then kills them. And once he takes a wife who starts telling him a story and stops telling the story at very critical points every single night in order not to be killed for that day. And so in order to create incentive for the king to let her live one more day.
The birth of the cliffhanger.
One of the stories that she starts telling is Sinbad, and it's seven different voyages of Sinbad the porter, Sinbad the sailor, or Sinbad Bahri, who starts telling the story to another Sinbad, who is a porter. And in order to teach him the lesson of life and teach him how he got all his wealth and all his money. He's telling that he got through lots of suffering, he got through lots of hardship in his journeys in order to get this, in order to get what he has in life. So that's the whole story, different journeys that he had.
Well, here is an opportunity, if you're just joining us, Steel City Shakespeare is here, and the Seven Voyages of Sinbad is going to open on October 7th. We also are joined by Christine Wispel, who is here representing the Fine View Citizens Council. The play is going to be at the Fine View Overlook. And there's one more person here who we haven't heard from yet, and her name is Tracy Turner. Hello.
Greetings and salutations.
And you play a role in the play, but before you share a scene, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Oklahoma, and I am a Carnegie Mellon alumni of the drama department. I am a mom of two beautiful daughters in Pittsburgh, and it's just a blessing to do Sinbad. I actually am playing the older Sinbad. There's another actor who's playing the younger Sinbad, and he's a man. So it's kind of wonderful to have these different perspectives of
Of
the Sinbad and the journeys that he goes through.
And what a voice Tracy has. I'm sure you hear that all the time.
Oh, it wasn't so fun when I was like five, but it's okay now that I'm a little older.
Did you come to Carnegie Mellon from Oklahoma? Is that what... I mean, is that what brought you to Pittsburgh?
Actually, my parents. My dad was an engineer for IBM. My mother was a professor at the University of Pittsburgh in the School of Nursing. So they moved us. And when I got here, my very first acting teacher was Dr. Vernell A. Lilly. And I was at the University of Pittsburgh. And I had a professor in that department pull me aside and say, "Are you serious about this?" And I said, "Yeah." You know, it was either that or pre-med. And she said... He said, "Well, then you need to look at a really good school." So I went up the street and I got into Carnegie Mellon, and I've been doing it ever since.
Well, that's a great story. And my only memories of Oklahoma are eating okra and lots of it.
Oh, lots of it.
Lots of it.
You've got to do the pull.
Yes, yes. I never did quite cotton to it, however. I just could not get as fond of okra as everybody there in my... there's a large Air Force base.
Tinker.
Yes, in Tulsa. And I spent a little time there, and lots and lots of okra.
lots of okra. Oh, yes, that's Oklahoma for sure.
Well, you have, I think, a monologue that you're going to share with us. Do you need to set it up at all?
Actually, I'm going to start at the very, very first journey. I think one of the great things about... the text is it's very, 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 very rich. We were deciding what if we had to say the whole story was about. I would say for me, the older Sinbad is my super objective is that you cannot outrun fate. And it's kind of a reoccurring theme. There's a little prologue before. It sets up that Sinbad the Porter wants money, wants gold. He comes to this beautiful home, my home, Sinbad the Sailor. And I begin to tell him these stories of how I became rich and how that, you know, you just don't magically become rich. You have to go through all of this hardship. And it's a beautiful story. Anyway, I'm going to start with the first voyage of Sinbad Bahri. Now, knowing the first voyage, that I had a wealthy merchant father, and after his life had ended, I was inherited a small fortune. Now, I spent all that money eating and drinking wine with young men, and every day I was in the park with my friends. I thought the money would be stable forever, and I thought the state would benefit me. Now, I was in the state for a long time, and as I returned to my senses, I saw that all the money was gone, and I, feeling changed, I felt regret and scared of working. But I remembered the story of Suleiman Abdi Daoud, who had ordered three things. One, the day of birth is better than the day of death. Two, an alive dog is better than a dead lion. And three, the tomb is better than the palace. I, selling everything that had remained, had collected 3,000 dirhams. I thought of traveling from city to city and from island to island, and then I remembered the saying of the poet, "The value of a people is shown in travels. When a man's own home is like a prison, while the jewel is inside a rock, who can know its value?" I hope I did Ezrash justice.
Oh, I think you did.
He's a fabulous writer, incredible writer.
I think you did. And Ezrash, do you write as well? You must do more than translate, I would think. What do you do for a living?
I'm a robotics student, a PhD in robotics
at
Carnegie Mellon.
Isn't that awesome?
So I don't actually write. I'm very interested in music.
Okay. Well, so. They all go together. What's your research area?
I'm generally working on aircraft.
Excellent. That's something. And now you're in theater. And the Carnegie Mellon.
He's going to fly a new way.
Yeah, the Carnegie Mellon connection is really something, too. We could maybe have you do drones off of the Fondview Overlook. Drones could drop playbills to everybody.
Drones could drop our props.
Yeah, there you go. Well, speaking of props.
Christine's taking notes. She likes that idea.
She does. She's going to do it. Well, I hope I just put a picture. We just put some pictures of all of you up on our Facebook page. And we thank Matthew for getting those up there. So you can find out more information about the seven voyages of Sinbad. Does anybody have anything to add that I might have left out?
Kid friendly, please bring your children. This is a great experience. A lot of tricky little surprises are going to happen.
Yes, and again, it's not traditional theater, so if you want to bring a picnic blanket and a lunch or lawn chairs, we want you to be comfortable and enjoy the show on your own terms. Again, October 7th and 8th, and then the next weekend, 14th and 15th. Every show is at 4 o'clock, so that's easy to remember.
Fineview has a parking lot for guests who want to come on up and join us on the Lanark Street parking lot. And you can find out more information about Fineview at our website, Fineview PGH.
That's easy. It's just Fineview PGH.
Yeah, super easy.
Excellent. Thank you so much to all of
you for
being here. I should ask Ezrash, do you know Ila? Ila's a good friend of mine. Are you working with him or no? Okay, because he's one of the many robotics people at Carnegie Mellon. But he's doing a lot of community-oriented projects. I don't think we have community airplanes yet. But you never know. Look for Steel City Shakespeare. It's the Seven Voyages of Sinbad. And Michael, what is Steel City Shakespeare's website for folks looking for more details?
We do have a website, steelcityshakespeare.com. You can also go to Facebook and look for Steel City Shakespeare. We have a page there too. And we love it. I love it. I usually work the table to greet people. And when people say, you know, we heard you on SLB, that's fun. So come by and say hi.
Thanks. And thanks again to Steel City Shakespeare.